Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights on Demand. We got to hang out with Dogstar, Brett Domrose, Rob Mailhouse, and Keanu Reeves for the May cover story for Loudwire. Well, hanging with us tonight is a band that first started jamming together 35 years ago, back in 91 in Los Angeles. And a few years later, they released their debut album, Our Little Visionary, and now we are on the verge of getting our hands on their latest record, All In Now. Guitarist and frontman Brett Domrose, drummer Rob Mailhouse, and bassist Keanu Reeves, better known as Dogstar. Guys, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
It's great to have you on, and we've got a lot to talk about. But, you know, right out of the gate, it was 23 years between your album Happy Ending and Somewhere Between the Power Lines and Palm Trees that came out in 2023. And then less than 3 years later, here we are gearing up for the new album All In Now. How are you guys feeling with this record done? It's wrapped up, ready for the world to hear.
Let's go. Let's hit the road. Let's play some shows. We're touring Europe starting in June. And then we're going to the States starting in August. Can't wait. Let's go.
Then we're going to the moon. We have a show on the moon on September 29th.
Join us at the moon.
Join us at the moon. It's there's no cover charge. It's just
a free show.
You just got to get there.
I just have to get there. It's really hard to get there. No, it's exciting. I mean, Nicola and I did a great job producing. We had really fun making it, and it feels like, you know, like just the sound of it seems just like the stuff that we like as well. Just that sonic sound that we all grew up listening to, that kind of production. But yet it's, you know, us. But yet Nick sort of guided us in that sort of wonderful way. We had the same musical taste or whatever. It was just so good at guiding us. And he did a great job with the guys, you know, beautiful job. The guitars and the bass. I just love the way it sounds.
Totally agree. And I'm glad you brought up Nick, because I want to talk about him. So this producer, Nick Lone, I mean, just an incredible resume of the albums he's produced, the bands he's worked with, from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds to Idols to Gang of Four and Killing Joke and Talking Heads and Lou Reed and Silverchair. And, you know, you guys have worked with some great producers over the years, like Ed Stasium, who, you know, built the Power Station studio in Hell's Kitchen in New York City, and Richie Zito and Dave Trumfio. How did you get hooked up with Nick for the new album?
That was management. They gave us a list of producers to take a look at, and he was on there and stood out, obviously, by his resume that you just listed. And we got real excited real fast when we saw his name.
We thought it was a misprint. We're like, it was like Fred Flintstone, Barney Rubble, Nick Lone. We're like, wait a minute. We thought that was like the long shot, you know, like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then he's such a kind, loving person. Like you said, the resume and it's just the sounds.
It was cool. He had come to see us at the Roxy, right?
No, the Troubadour.
Troubadour.
You never told us that. He was in the audience, right?
Yeah, which is fun.
I love hearing that, man. And, you know, it's interesting as I hear this album and I can't help but compare it to the last album, Somewhere Between the Power Lines and Palm Trees. You know, that album felt a little more laid back, maybe, and All In Now seems to tap into a bit of that, a little bit of that, but it also harkens to the sounds that you were making in the 90s, I think. And I don't know if it's the right word, but it almost sounds like there's more urgency on some of the songs on this new album. Was that something that Nick helped you tap into, or was that sort of already forming as you guys started writing this album?
We pretty much had most of the songs by the time we got Nick on board, but he helped us. We had more than we needed, and he helped us, you know, pick the songs and definitely, you know, made the most out of what we had. You know, we had some rough sketches and this and that, and he came in and put his magic on it. And definitely,
but I think when we were songwriting, Brett, doesn't it? I feel like we were trying to, like, we wanted to have a little more urgency in some of the songs and wanted to like, rah, let's go.
Yeah. It seemed like a natural progression, you know, that we eased back in with the other album. And then this one, we were a little bit more like, okay, we found some footing and we're ready to go to the next gear, you know, next level.
Well, and I, you know, Nick shared something on Instagram when one of the music videos came out, and, you know, Rob or Brett, it was one of you, you commented and you said, you know, thanks for bringing the magic, making this magic in the studio. I mean, it seems like, yeah, he was on the list for management, but once you guys got together, like, it just clicked. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he's like a little kid, you know. He's got like the, you know what I mean? He's had that youthful excitement too. And he had just come off this record with Amel and the Sniffer. So he had just come off this real sort of like powerful kind of vibe. And he kind of brought that in with him. And, you know, he's out there and about, you know, when he's not working, he's out there at the goth clubs and he's always looking at bands and going to shows. And he's like, you know, he's like in his 20s going, you know, he's like a young kid. And he's got so much energy, you know, he can sit down there and in the chair and, you know, working for like 12 hours straight and without even getting up. I don't think he went to the bathroom once the whole time we recorded.
Remember the first meeting we had, I remember thinking, this guy is like a rock star aura. Like, yeah. he's a rock star. Like, I walked in and I was like, oh, okay. Like, there's a vibe off this guy. Like, so it was really like, it gave me instant comfort, like knowing that he was totally like, I don't know. I mean, it's more than just his image. It's just that there was just a confidence coming off of him that kind of made you relax and go, I think we're in good hands maybe with this guy.
Yeah. Our first meeting, he picked the place. He goes, let's be me a little French brasserie in Los Feliz. You know, we went there and it was very European and it was sweet. After the meeting, we had never met him before. We were hugging each other. We just like started hugging. It was kind of like, wow.
Maybe that was after I left.
Oh, that was after you left. That's true.
That is true.
But you know what I mean? He's that kind of person. You know, he's just a sweet person. And he's just got great ears too. And I feel like he took Brett's guitars and layers and vocals and really made it all like a different kind of an instrument. Instead of like, here's the vocal. Here, it all sort of blends in its own sort of style. And he put style on it, you know, which was already there, you know, but he just sort of put something else, like a little paintbrush on it. And I think that's what he's really good at, you know. He's just finding out the best and, you know, in the people that he's working with and then adding his sort of paint stroke on it.
Which is cool because you guys, like you said, you had, you know, already written this album or you know, had started writing and you know, working on it quite a while. And so for him to come in, like, to be able to do that, like, it's exactly what you want a producer to do.
He definitely became like a fourth member of the band, I think. Yeah. You know, with some other producers we worked with in the past, sometimes they're like taking phone calls in the middle of it and you're like, where the hell did they go? And you're like, I'm ready to sing or I'm ready to, you know, and they're out there like trying to line up their next gig on like in the middle of the dinger. Come on, man. So there was just none of that with this guy. He was just like, let's work. And, you know, he was 100% there. It was so fun. Made it so fun.
So what did the writing process look like? You know, obviously there's a lot of time in between the second and third album, but it seems like you guys got to work pretty quickly after your release Somewhere Between the Power Lines and Palm Trees in 23. I mean, Keanu, you've already said it twice, I think, in this interview, let's go. And I think you said that when the album came out too, let's go. It just seemed like you guys were chomping at the bit to keep recording and keep writing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we went woodshedding after we finished touring. I think we knew we wanted, touring the last record, you know, we knew we wanted to do it again. And so I think we got a rehearsal space and we just started the writing process.
And what's that look like? Is it the three of you getting together and tossing around ideas? You guys write individually?
Yeah, rehearsal starts at 1 p.m. We go to Nightingale Studios in Burbank. We were in Studio C.
Love it.
We set up the gear and, you know, we just go and then it's like, okay, we need a day off tomorrow. Okay. Then, okay, let's go. Basically from 1 o'clock till, it's usually till it was 6, 7, right guys? And we were just kind of just write, play.
Ideas around, yeah.
Well, this, I noticed on this record, actually both records, but a lot of times Keanu will write on the little iPhone app recording notes. He'll send little riffs over and just name them like little patch names. And it'll be like a verse or a really powerful, fun kind of melodic riff. And then we'll bring those into rehearsals. And then Brett weaves around that. And then they come up with a chorus. And so a lot of times we start out with little basic, just sort of like riffs. Maybe Keanu was on the couch or I don't know what he was doing, but they're all really good. You know, there's so many
of
them. It's like a lot.
They get kicked out. Like, I'll do some riffs.
Yeah.
I'll add some riffs.
But they're so.
Yeah. And then now we had the whiteboard. Brett brought in the whiteboard. So we just started kind of building up from the riffs to like, how do the parts go to the songs? Robert's kind of like our good critic. He's like, you guys are fucking it up. There's too many parts. Or we like that. And then we had, right, we went through a process of like, these are keepers. Nah, we're not so sure. Until we had kind of, we wanted to have at least, what was it, 15 just to go with.
And then, we had 15 plus we had about another three or four that were floating ideas that we just couldn't get ourselves happy with them for whatever reason. We got close, but, you know, there's still some pieces lingering out there that didn't make it. So, you know, we spend a lot of time on ideas. If we like the idea, you know, there's 2-3 days sometimes we keep hitting it, and then some of them just never became a song. So it's definitely like you're going to work, you know, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
We just sit in there and we just stare at each other and grind it out. And, you know,
but it was nice because it was like, how are we feeling today? How are we feeling this afternoon? I'm feeling like this, you know. We'd kind of check into the universe and the muses and see how we were feeling and what we would play, you know, how we would play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of coming in like with like a full sculpture or something, like here's the sculpture, let's do this. A lot of times we'll just come in with the armature and just throw clay, you know, and sort of build something together, you know, instead of having the piece final. And then sometimes if a part, we love this part and it doesn't fit in the song, we'll use it for another song. Or we remember that part that was the chorus, or let's, and then it'll fit into a whole nother one. So, you know, I think it's this time around, you know, it's really interesting because we save a lot of ideas and we don't necessarily throw them out forever. We revisit them and maybe they'll work, you know, on another song. Yeah.
Well, as you talk about all this, you know, it's interesting to me because All In Now, it seems like when I listen to it, it seems to capture all the different kind of paths the band has taken over the years. And not that you guys have changed course drastically or anything, but, you know, just like any person or anyone, we grow, we evolve, we change. But All In Now really seems like this culmination of a few decades of playing together, of figuring this out together. Like, it's the best sort of picture of this is who Dogstar is. You know, I'm saying that as a fan. I'm curious if it feels that way to you guys.
Not consciously. I mean, it's something that we just show up and it balls out of us. Right. So I'm sure what you're saying is true. It's just that I think we always think of the new songs as we're most excited about them. And, but I mean, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself. I don't feel like any kind of preconceived anything when we go in. It's just like Keanu said, what's the mood of the day? You know, are we going to be loose today and goof around? Or are we going to be serious and try and finish three ideas? Or what are we going to do? You know, sometimes we'll work on ideas and just be like, screw this. Let's just put that away and just have fun and see what happens, you know? So, yeah, there's no, I mean, like you said, it's all part of our DNA. Right. So, but there was no effort to go in any particular direction. Right. It was just,
yeah. All In Now was like a Reeves riff that we built. Siren was a Brett riff. The Whisper was a Robert, and Reeves bass drum jam that started, and we dragged Brett over to play in our sandbox. So like, those are three examples of like, almost like the primary ways. Exalted was a Brett riff that we all built. Let's see. Shallow Easy was a Reeves riff that we built. What else is there?
Joy. This fear, the same.
Fear is the Brett riff.
Yeah.
But I agree with you to answer.
Joy was a Brett riff. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I love Joy.
Yeah.
Well, Joy, I think, I heard like a kind of a church bell sound in my head, and I was like, how do we make that sound as a three piece? And I tried to play like some dissonant chords in the beginning to kind of sound like a church bell. So that's kind of where that grew from. I think it was like an intensity to it that we captured. I think it was pretty cool.
Right on. Well, you know, as we talk about this new album, I want to go back to the early days. You know, Robert, Keanu, you guys met in 91, you hit it off. Brett, you joined in 94. In 95, you're touring the world. You open for David Bowie in LA. You tour with Bon Jovi across Australia and New Zealand, and you hadn't released an EP or an album yet. What was running through your heads as you were playing those shows?
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Well, we had an EP out. We did have an EP out in 95, right? Or no, it was 96.
Yeah.
When did that come out? 96, yeah.
Yeah, 96.
So right around that same time is when all
you were
that
working
stuff
on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when we opened for Bon Jovi at the Forum, that was just like, what? But then it was like, it felt okay. It was like fun. It's fun.
We didn't die. We survived.
We survived. Well, and prior to that, you know, you're playing live shows, maybe not at the level of Bon Jovi or Bowie, but still grinding it out. You know, your first show was 92 in LA, and also, I just love this piece of history, Weezer's first show, which is wild to think you both kicking it off together on the same stage. You know, thinking about the early 90s, all the music that was coming out of LA, and of course out of Seattle, and, you know, even like San Diego, STP coming out. What was that scene like for Dogstar? Like, what did that feel like for you guys?
We weren't a part of it at all. Yeah.
I mean, we were like a club. We were playing clubs and bars.
Midnight.
At midnight.
Dragonfly.
Yeah. The Roxbury. Yeah. We would go on at midnight. And I think, you know, we were feeling it, but to answer what Kiana's saying, we weren't really a part of it, you know, for the recording, but we were feeling it. It was a good time to be alive and a great time to be in Los Angeles at that time as well. It was exciting because it was a whole nother sort of a nail in the coffin of a certain genre and a bring up of another one, you know. And it just was everything seemed exciting. People were out and about, and it was just a vibrant scene, you know. So it was really fun. It was great for us. It was to learn. I was a great learning experience to go through all that.
I mean, we were having fun, man. Dogstar had just been like, let's play and like whatever, you know. We weren't trying to sound like anybody. We've always been just kind of like, this is who we are and how it goes. You know? Hopefully people enjoy it, you know, and have a good time.
Well, and to that point, I mean, yeah, you guys, like, what was running through your head? Were you guys have these big dreams or ideas, or was it just that, like, no, let's just go. We're just going to play. We're going to see what happens.
For me, it was like that. Like, you know, let's make music. Let's play. You know, we got signed. I think how many labels did we close down, guys? Three? Two? How many labels did we shut down?
Are we going to take responsibility for that? No.
We've closed a few bars down. That's for sure. I mean, to answer your question, I think this Nick Lanai album is, what I thought I was hearing your original question was that a culmination of what you felt? And I think for me, like my dream for the band, not for myself, for the band was sort of like this record. Cause when I listen to this record, you know, it is a live record. So there's, you know, there's no click track. And I think it's very lost. But the idea and the feel of that record was something I always felt that I always wanted for the band. I knew we could do it, something like that, but I'm so surprised and so happy at how it came out. Cause it, to me, that is the level that I think we are, that we could achieve. And we, you know, I think we deserve to work with someone like Nick, you know, cause he helped us so much. And I think he really gave us a lot of confidence and it's great when you work with someone like that. It, you think, oh, the higher up on the chain you go, the more difficult they're going to be, or it's going to be harder, or it's going to be this. It's the complete opposite. Yeah. It was like, it was more nurturing, and he made us feel like kids and young and not, you know, he just took all that off. And like Brett said, he was the fourth band member. You know, and Dave and Trumfio and Ruddy, those guys were great as well too. They made us feel really comfortable too. So it's just, so I think the last two records are really wonderful, and I, you know, they're completely different.
Yeah.
But I, you know, those producers were really, really important for us to be able to, and we were lucky. You know, Ed Stasium was a lovely human being, and he taught us so much. And was incredible experience working with Ed. So we've been pretty fortunate, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the thing that's different is us. Like those guys are always great and they've always legends, but we're not the same. So I think we've meandered into this area where someone like a Nick Lanai would say, yeah, fuck it, I'll work with those guys.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you think about those early days, right, in LA, and Keanu, you said you didn't feel like you belonged, and Robert, you know, kind of the same thing, but still, like, still part of it, and still get to see it, and still kind of, you know, learn from it, and experience it, and all of that. Did you feel like, all right, you weren't part of it, did you feel, like, on the more negative side, like, outcast, or anything like that, or just, you're just doing your thing?
Yeah, no, I feel like, no, man, we were living in LA, we were playing in a rock band, and we were playing shows,
Yeah, not bad, man.
You know what I mean? And like, and then we play here, we play there, we'd go on tour. You know, we toured the States 4 times, Japan 5 times. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like in the mid 90s, going into 2000s. Yeah, I mean, it was fun, you know? Yeah. And we were just, you know, playing the troubadour, you know, hanging out with friends, first bus tour, just like, you know, just kooky, wacky. Coming back and then like, oh, we didn't make any money. Oops. We had a great time, but maybe we don't bring so many next time, so many people next time.
Every time you go on vacation, you don't really make money.
Yeah, that's it, man. I mean, Brett, you said it's like going to work, but you know, it's fun. It's fun work.
Well, I mean, it's like that Joe Walsh line, right? They say I'm lazy, but it takes all my time. It's like it's a great way to spend your time. You know,
that's right.
You can call it work, then I'll take it. You know, and so, that's the job.
You know, in '96, you guys then released the debut EP Quattro Formaggi, and then the first full length, Our Little Visionary. What runs through your head when you think about Our Little Visionary hitting the 3-decade milestone this year?
Wow. That's 30 years ago. Wow.
We actually played one of the songs from it the other day at a rehearsal, just to see what, you know, just kind of threw it out there and see if we even remembered it. We didn't decide we were going to do it. We just started looking at each other and we played it. And we just like, oh my God. Yeah. So, I mean, it's memory lane, right? It's for sure nostalgic. And it makes me think of where we were when we wrote the album in Chicago and, you know, just things that were happening at that time. So it's a kind of a throwback experience.
It's like looking through an old diary, right?
Like an old photo album. Yeah.
Yeah. An old photo album. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and you know, some of the songs are still, that one's still okay. That one's still okay. So maybe, you know, maybe one day we'll bring some of those out. You know, and then there's some that I think we've gone past that we're not really excited about anymore for whatever reason. And maybe that'll change in a couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
And make people hate the ones we like now and we'll like the ones. Again, it just depends on who we are when we show up that day.
Yeah, how you're feeling that day. I get it, man. Yeah. So as you think about all this, man, this whole conversation, right? We've gone from the early 90s to this new album. And you know, hearing just kind of where your heads were at in those early days, you know, not necessarily thinking about these huge, huge dreams, but just doing what you wanted to do. Are you the same way today, or do you guys allow yourselves to think about big dreams like playing on the moon, or you know, anything like that? Or do you just try to stay in the moment?
For me, I'm in the moment. I'm definitely enjoying every minute as it happens. No expectations of, I mean, I want great things just like everybody when they wake up. But you know, I'm not putting that weight on this to where this is my whole existence. If it doesn't get to you know, platinum record, then I failed or something. You know, it's way more fun for me personally to just ride the ride.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah, I just think the three of us together have this triangle. It's a great communication, the way we communicate when we play musically. And it's just really special, you know, to be able to play with your friends and then have this sort of relationship. It's just bass, drums, and guitar. And then, of course, the vocal, but the instrument, it's just the three of us. And I think we've figured out a way in that trio to make those instruments sort of work together. And so getting together, I feel like it's always special, no matter what we do, whether it's rehearsal or a show or the next record. I think we're onto something, and it's something bigger than, you know, just the song or the business. It's personal, and it's emotional, and it's historical within our friendship. And also the reaction of the people that are on the other end, like, we don't know how they're going to react. And the reaction has been so positive. And we've, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs early, which is normal for any artist. And I think this time around, it feels the love and support is so different. It's so, I don't know if that's a sign of the times or maybe it's something that we're doing. And I don't really know how to express that, but all I know is just the three of us, what we're doing and how it feels. And I feel like we have so much left in the tank, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm excited to get to the next record. I just feel like we have all this stuff in us, and I don't know how it comes out, but it's just notes and music and sounds and beats. And then I wouldn't want to play it with other artists. That's the thing. It might not work. So the thing that we have together with the three of us is what I think is what special. And I think people see that. They must see it. They must see it, how it's a little different than maybe another artist or a band. They must see our relationship. They have to. I don't know what else they're seeing, but maybe they are. I know that I'm feeling it. So if I'm feeling it, then maybe they are. So for me, that's what's really special, is just, you know, the relationship of all these years and communicating through music. And sometimes we don't even have to talk to each other. We just look at each other. We know what to do.
Well, and as you think about, you know, big dreams for a band, like, that's it. That's the dream. Everything you just said, Robert, like, to me, that would be the dream of any band, to have what you guys have.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I know how fragile that is too, you know. It's, everything's fragile, right? So anything can happen. I think now the three of us know that too. Like, we're aware, not just because we're getting older, it's just because of life. You know, everything's moves and changes so quickly. So to Brett's point earlier, like, we're just appreciating that ride and feeling blessed for it. And no, we don't take anything for granted. Like, you know, we expect this. Like, we're fans as well, you know, of just the genre of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And Keanu, what about you, man? Are you like same kind of same mindset?
That.
Yeah. Follow that, man. No, you know, like you talking about the early days, you know, you were just so happy to be in a rock band in LA doing what you were doing. I mean, is that the same mindset you carry today?
Let's go. No, I mean, I love my brothers. I love creating together. I love playing shows together. I love the adventure that we're on. I like how we roll in this band. Like, if you invite us, we might, you know, we want to go. We don't care. Like, yeah, sure. Let's go to Australia. Let's make a record. Okay. Let's work hard. Let's do it. You know, we like to say yes, but sometimes we say no and we put a record company out of business. But anyway,
there we go.
But now we're the record company.
That's right. Well, yeah, things have changed for you. You are the label. Yeah, which I imagine is supremely difficult, but also like incredibly freeing too, right?
Hey, send us your mixtape if you have, you know, well, you got a song.
A beautiful thing that's happened for me since I was a kid, when I was like 11 years old, I picked up the guitar and I said, okay, this is what I want to do. It's pretty exciting. And I was just telling Keanu the other day, I used to put baggage tags on my guitar cases and stickers that said like fragile, because I wanted to feel like I toured and I was like 12, 13 years old. I was doing this. And so to me, that was the dream. And now I every once in a while, I'll catch a glimpse of our road cases and they're covered in all these stickers. And it just like, it's not lost on me that, okay, check that one off. And then, but it's always changing, you know, the dream's changing. It used to be wanting a big record deal. It used to be wanting, you know, to be, you know, have the music everywhere, all that. And now it's just wanting to have fun and interact with the people, and hopefully they're having fun. And it's just really that simple, I think, for me. And it seems like that's where we're at, right? It's just, let's just go along and do what we do and just see what life has for us.
And we have the best crew, and they pick up on that. This morning, the drum tech and monitor stage manager, our buddy Chris, he came over. He says, so good to be back. He goes, I was just on a big tour and they just yelled at me the whole time. I was like, what? He goes, you guys never yell at me. And it's just, yeah, I think it's like a family. We have that atmosphere carries over. Like, our crews, our friends, we're on the bus together, you know, and we eat together and we hang out. We throw the pool together and so we're all in it together. Like, you know, whether it's the drum tech, the guitar tech, security, the tour manager, and our management too. They're like our friends. They are our friends. Not like our friends. They are. They're if this all ended tomorrow, we'd all still be friends, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how we did this, but we seem to surround ourselves with all these like incredibly lovely, decent, just kind, fun human beings. So, because you can't do this on our own. So we're really fortunate this time around. And our tour manager and Todd, we've been with years, and Q Prime. I mean, there's just, it makes it so much fun. You know, they make it so much, they take a lot of the heat off, you know?
Like a family, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just fun to be around as well, you know?
Listen, you guys are rock stars. You got to be a little meaner. You got to start yelling at people, right?
We make it a point to not surround ourselves with people who need to be yelled at.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting too. I mean, and you know, saying this as a fan, I wasn't in a rock band in LA in the early 90s, but you know, like the fact that you guys had that early on. And of course, that's grown and grown, and you guys have gotten closer and you've gone through stuff and all of that. But, you know, so many bands, like, you know, Robert, I think you said, like, you know, it's so fragile. And the fact that you guys had that and probably saw bands around you fighting or talking crap on each other or breaking up or whatever, you guys stuck through, and here we are celebrating a new album. I mean, it is really incredible.
Well, we did break up for 20 some odd years.
All right. Yeah, we don't.
There is that too.
Yes. Yeah. See, you guys are rock stars, so we're good.
We did break up for 20 years.
Yes. No, I know. Yes.
We were just seeing other people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, is that, but it wasn't, was it? It wasn't,
we were separated. We didn't get lawyers. We just, like, we wanted to see other people. And then we realized, you know what? Those other people weren't so great.
Yeah. See, even in that breakup, it seems like there was still this connection, we still got this together, brother, that you guys had.
You know, yeah, we think about that. We still got together during that period of where we weren't playing gigs or anything. Every once in a while, we would go over to Robert's studio and just get together and be like, hey, how you doing? How you been? And then plug in and blow the cobwebs off and have some fun. And then, you know, wouldn't see each other for another, you know, wouldn't play for another year and a half or whatever. Yeah. But it wasn't like we didn't see each other for 20 years, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
There was always some connectivity there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Feels more like a hiatus, you know, just like a little break than a.
Yeah, it was pretty natural. I think it was pretty natural the way it happened. And it was, you know, I don't think anybody was arguing about why is it happening? Or, you know, it was just kind of like, yeah, let's just chill for a minute. And that minute was a long minute.
Yeah. It's almost like getting writer's block and they need to go to like Tahiti or something just to go, you know, chill out for a bit.
Well, all right. Yeah. So, you know, we wax nostalgic. We talk about all this. We're celebrating new music, man. And, you know, already, Rob, you mentioned, you know, you're ready to record the next one. And Keanu, of course, you know, let's go. All of this. You've got a lot of live shows this year. You're covering a lot of ground in Europe. You're playing some incredible spots all over America, like ACL Live in Austin and the 930 Club in D.C. and the legendary Ryman in Nashville.
Oh, man.
But with even with all that on the horizon, I mean, do you guys feel this similar sense of readiness, this urgency to get back in the studio and record more?
I don't think we're thinking about that yet because we just got out.
We're
in live mode. We're focusing hard on live right now.
Yeah.
And as we go, hopefully during soundcheck and during, if we have any kind of downtime, then maybe some new ideas will pop up and then we'll work on them at soundcheck. That's what happened the last time. We had, you know, three or four of the songs for this album written right after on the tour of the last album. So a couple of the songs that are on this record are 3 years old. You know, they've been waiting around.
Yeah.
So things get born along the way, hopefully, you know, with a little luck and a little free time. And so hopefully we'll get some of that. And then hopefully we'll get back in a room together, just like, you know, and maybe we change the environment this time, depending on how we're feeling. Maybe we go to another city or a, you know, who knows? Who knows where we're going to be, you know, when we're done with this tour. But I think we're all excited about writing still. We love writing and creating. It's fun because just when you get tired of the writing, then the live tours come up. So you're cool. We're burned out on writing. We've been locked inside indoors for so long. Now let's go out and see the world. And then you get tired and you're like, okay, we toured. We're good and exhausted in a good way. And now let's get back in the little room and see what happens. It's a really cool cycle that happens, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Well, Brett, Robert, Keanu, thank you so much for hanging tonight, celebrating all things Dogstar, and especially this new album, All In Now. I can't say enough about it. We love the title track, man. We're playing it every chance we get here on the show, and I can't wait to hold the record in my hands. Listeners, get everything you need. Get the album. Get tickets to see Dogstar live at dogstarofficial.com. We'll keep you posted right here, too. But guys, this is the first time we've gotten to catch up, but hopefully it's not the last. You are welcome anytime. The door is wide open.
Oh, thank you so kindly.
Thanks.
Pleasure.
Come to our show.
Let's go.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.